There were a lot of personalities that I looked at, wanted to talk to, but would never go up and speak to them because I just was intimidated. But sat in the back, listened to the speakers, and everything they said was almost like magic to me. I mean, wrote down every note and felt like anything that they said was something that I had to do as a coach.
Sure.
So it impacted me in such a great way. But what it did, Sheets, is after that first one, I just knew that this will be something that I never miss again. And now to see it, you know, going all the way back, it's a tremendous amount of growth.
What you still need to figure out.
Everything.
Exactly.
That's the beauty of baseball. Yeah. You never figure it out.
That's
you
right.
can't figure it out. There's things that are involved with baseball that you can't control. Even Ken Revisa can't control it.
Right.
You know?
And he can do anything.
he will tell you that. But the truth of the matter is you can't control luck.
Yep.
You can't control momentum. You can't control the intangibles. You can't control environment.
Yep.
And you can't control expectations.
That's it.
Hey, that's a pretty strong team.
That's it. Yes, it is. They're going to win some games.
You're dialed in to the ABCA's Calls from the Clubhouse podcast, connecting our coaches with some of the best baseball minds in our game. Now here's your host, Jeremy Schiedinger.
So here we are, Corb's first interview at the 74th Annual ABCA Convention here in Indianapolis. Welcome to Indy.
Thank you. It's good to be back again for sure. A little snow with it, so it's very festive.
That's it.
Yeah.
Well, we haven't connected on the air since episode 10 when we had Coach Savage and Coach Maneri on, but I want to welcome you. You're our first guest here. We're doing some on-site stuff here at the convention. Mm-hmm. And I want you to start off with this. Give us the stat line. Give us years in ABCA, convention experiences. Break down the stats for us.
Mm-hmm. I think I've talked to you about this before. 85 was my first one. It was in Nashville, Tennessee, which I was nowhere near Nashville at that time, ironically. Now there, but I was a high school coach in New Hampshire, but came in 1985. It was a Christmas gift, and then I remember I think Tom Petroff was the president back then, so way back, and a lot of good coaches. There's a lot of people on that wall that were speaking during that time, so this is my 33rd convention, which seems like a lot of time. But haven't missed one since, and hopefully we'll be healthy enough to keep returning to these
things. That's
right. Yeah.
Talk about 33 years. Go back to that very first convention experience, and obviously how much the ABCA has grown since then. But take us back. Give us the look, the feel, the taste of what was going on there at that first show for you.
Well, I think it was over 1,000 people were attending there.
Okay.
But you have to remember, you know, as a high school coach, I was very intimidated.
Sure.
You know, I was coming by myself.
That's
I didn't know anyone.
It's a great story. So I want you to go into.
Yeah, well, I didn't. I didn't know anyone. And when you don't know anyone, you look at everyone in awe, especially the coaches that you're familiar with. And, I was a historian. I think the reason I was a historian is being from New Hampshire, University of Maine, with Coach Wenkin. And, you know, so you see Eddie Flaherty and Jack Leggett, who worked for. They were people that I followed but didn't know.
Yeah.
So I almost – that was almost a dream, you know, to coach at Maine, to be at Maine, to do something along those lines. And that was kind of my first – segue into college baseball. But you know, the Phil Stevensons, the Jim Brocks, there were a lot of personalities that I looked at and wanted to talk to, but would never go up and speak to them because I just was intimidated. But sat in the back, listened to the speakers, and everything they said was almost like magic to me. I mean, wrote down every note and felt like anything that they said was something that I had to do as a coach.
Sure.
So it impacted me in such a great way. But what it did, Sheets, is after that first one, I just knew that I said this will be something that I never miss again. And now to see it, you know, going all the way back, it's a tremendous amount of growth. So
does it bring it all together for you as a guy that's, you know, again, talk about the first experience, working your way up through the VP ranks, becoming president, now serving on board of directors? Just how solidified ABCA is in your heart and your career and your development as a coach?
Yeah, in a lot of different ways. I mean, I look at, you know, Dave Kylitz being the person that brought me into this.
Mm-hmm.
And when he made that call to me, I thought that was an honor in itself. You know, it is someone asking you to join their group of what I saw as the leaders in college baseball and
Absolutely.
Then to be part of this. and I couldn't say yes fast enough. And then, you know, being part of it and developing the relationships with older people. I mean, gray hair and wrinkles are the greatest thing that you can be a part of as a young person because you know their wisdom and their stories and listening to them, and it fills your heart and your mind with a lot of great information that you take forward. But I think to this time, it's something that I look forward to every time. But the thing about all of this is what you're doing, and you know, from Spalding, a small school, and you know, then to Kentucky, and now what you're doing right now, and how it's grown in really a short amount of time is really amazing. But speaks loudly about the leadership and what you guys have done.
Definitely appreciate that. I want to go back to one thing real quick you mentioned, because I think we might be able to pull some really good advice for coaches that are here. Mm-hmm. And what's unique, even the you know, hundreds of guys that are standing in front of us right now, there's a guy in this mix, Corbs, that this is his first convention experience. He's never been before. Go back to that intimidating feeling that you had and maybe speak directly to him on how he shouldn't feel intimidated. This is the baseball coach's fraternity. He should walk up to anybody and everybody and really feel comfortable.
Well, you're right, because even when I joined the ABCA and then became part of it, I was still intimidated by the people I sat next
to.
But I think when it gets right down to it, and even being 57 years old right now, you understand that humans are humans and they're resources and people that you can have conversations with, and they're willing to step aside and give you the time. They're not these people that are on a pedestal and you look up and they're unreachable. That's
that's
not the case at all. We're all in this together. And so I think as a young person, the ability just to stop someone, shake their hand, there's a lot of different things going on, and people have places to go. But at the same time, there's a lot of information that can be gained just by a five-minute conversation or a 10-minute conversation. I think of the people sheets that I've met, young coaches that I've said, hey, come on down to Nashville sometime, sit
That's
in
right.
on a workout, and they've been able to do it. And we've cultivated relationships because of that. But you know, being a high school coach, being a Division III player, being a Division II coach, being an NAI coach, being a Division I coach, I got to coach at every level, and it's probably why I have such great respect for everyone that's involved, period, in the game.
You really do, and if it's okay, I'm going to give you – I've used this example a lot on our Barnstormers Clinics tour. You being a guy, the number one, is always on the front row, always taking copious notes, always looking to find that one thing that you can take back to Vanderbilt and make your program better. But more than that, I try to express to these younger coaches that when they see guys like you out, they may see you coach on TV and they think that guy's unapproachable. And what's unique is a coach would think they can walk up to Tim Corbin and say, hey, man, give me something from Vandy that I can take back to Franklin County High School. When in actuality, you'll flip that script and go, what are you guys doing that making your high school program successful that I may be able to take to Vanderbilt? Is that pretty accurate?
Very accurate, and I think it's very accurate of anyone who's a lifetime learner or someone who wants to be a you know, we're all students, and I say that respectfully because we are.
Sure.
You know, we're learning from one another, and, you know, just I think of two phone calls that I made, and I don't even know these guys, but two phone calls I made this fall to two young infield coaches, Ty and Frawley, and basically what I was looking for is, okay, what are you doing? I want to know. I want to be – because I think the challenge – there's challenges as an old, younger coach, but there's challenges as an older coach too, because as you see as an older coach, you see adjustments being made in teachings and so on. And I think to stay relevant with your kids is your ability to stay current.
That's right. And
current with people and what's going on and what the trends are, and stay young. And I never want to get to that point where you lose validity with your kids because you're not relevant to what's going on
That's
in
right.
the game and music and what have you. So
That's right.
I think it's just as important for older coaches to be part of the growing process as it is the younger coaches because we help one another.
I love that. I think if there's one thing we could give these coaches now, what's something – recently you learned something new, something that maybe you hadn't looked at this way or somebody expressed it to you differently. Maybe it changed the way that you'll approach something this season. What's almost like the last thing learned that's really changed your perspective on something inside our game?
I think a couple things. I mean, I've had some neat conversations with some people over the last year. I think Link Jarrett's one of them.
Yes.
He's an outstanding teacher in my mind. And I do think there's teachers and coaches and managers, but, you know, I love the teacher part of it. Link just in interviewing him for a position was very beneficial to myself from a personal standpoint because of what I took in from him, from information, how we just talked about baseball to the point where he didn't come to Vanderbilt. He chose to stay where he was, but I went back and visited with him again because I just wanted to recreate the crime,
yeah,
you know,
and that's it.
Learn more information. And then, you know, just the verbiage of those two young kids I was talking about, I think I learned a lot there about just different ways to speak because the kids you bring in, 18, 19 years old, I look at those three conversations recently as being head turners for me and more information that I can utilize to help me teach.
That's awesome. I'll give you a couple more questions here. One is a huge piece of fraternities relationships. It's the brotherhood inside ABCA. How important, how awesome is it to come here and really enhance those relationships, in fact, even build new ones here on site at the convention?
I can't speak to basketball and football because I don't know what that is.
Right.
I've got my perspective in what it appears.
Sure.
I think this is different.
Yeah,
I agree. I look at baseball coaches as being very unique figures in the fact that, yeah, they compete with one another, but at the same time, when you take them off to the side, they're very sharing.
Sure.
And they're very close. I mean, you can see. I think the things that get used here outside of the walls of a convention center are the bars and the lounges and the places and the rooms that where real conversations take place, but they're raw and it's more about baseball and teachings.
I don't
necessarily think that is commonplace with other sports.
I agree.
So when you say fraternity, and I think, well, you're right.
Yep.
It's true. And just look at that group of people that I have meetings with on this morning and Sunday morning. Those are very close bonded men, and they're bonded through this and baseball itself. So I still look forward to that all the time, and you know, now my wife is a big part of it, which I would encourage too, because I think in order to be a good coach, Sheets, you have to have someone who shares your passion
for
what you do.
Great support system.
Absolutely, because there's a lot of independency that takes place right there. You're spending a lot of time with someone else's child.
Yep.
And for someone that wants to be part of it, I think it's a great thing, and I would always throw that towards any coach.
Last question for you. There's a number of coaches are going to be listening to this podcast, and they want to check in. They couldn't make it. For some reason, they couldn't get here. There's also some coaches going to be listening to this that are sitting on the fence. Maybe they haven't joined as members. Maybe they haven't just taken the plunge and worked to come to convention. We're staring down Dallas in 2019. Mm-hmm. Speak directly to those coaches. Convince them to show up in Dallas next year with us.
Well, you're missing. And it's not a sales push. I mean, it's just you're missing from a growth standpoint, the ability just to learn. And I think, you know, as much as we want to teach our own kids, in order for us to be effective teachers, we have to be taught ourselves, or at least be willing participants to
be taught.
And I just think there's too much here. There's too much information. And you know what, Sheets? I think sometimes if I go back and I was that young kid and I was looking at this now, it would be more intimidating because of what we're doing right here.
Absolutely.
What you have in front of you, that convention center, and then you look at all the exhibits. I say, I can't do that. I'm out of my league.
Right.
I just can't feel that way.
Right.
You just spend the small amount of money that's going to take, and I think once you do it one time, it will become one of the best experiences of your life and something that you'll never want to miss. So, you know, I'm grateful that I can continue doing it, grateful for people like you that are great friends and that are pushing this and pushing the coaches out there. I mean, what you've done with the Barnstormers, we looked at all the sites this past year, Sheets.
Yep.
It's amazing. It really is. And
appreciate
your podcasts, and I haven't missed one of those.
Right.
And learned a lot. I mean, put those on during my workouts and just listen to these guys. And it's really great information. So thanks for everything you're doing personally.
My pleasure. Appreciate it. I know there's a motivational sense when I put a podcast out each week.
Speaking of.
Exactly.
Right there.
Your time's coming, Heath.
Yeah, I'm going to build a field just like you too, Heath.
Well, I know you're listening every week. I know I got to show up.
Yeah, you got to show up.
Thanks for jumping on our call. We want to make sure that we touch base with you here and enjoy the rest of your time here in Indy.
Thanks, Sheet.
Thanks, brother.
Appreciate it. Yep.
Okay, Jake Bosch, Michigan State. Welcome to the podcast.
Hey, Sheets, how are you?
I'm living the dream, baby. Yeah, how about
absolutely.
You?
Absolutely. Likewise. Good to be here.
You know what's awesome is, you know, we hadn't connected. It was episode 36. Hadn't been on the airways with you since then.
Right.
Well, we finally get you on here. And just see you out of the corner of my eye. We want to get you on the show. Pull you over here and jump in the big chair.
Yeah, appreciate that. Good to be here.
So we're going to do this conversation with Steve Smith from Auburn just over our shoulder.
No pressure, right?
No pressure, no shadow. Pressure. I'm glad you jumped on with us. A couple things we want to walk through while we're here. We got so many coaches. We've got hundreds of coaches in front of us in the registration lines. And I think where we always start this is take us back through the stats, man. Being involved with ABCA, membership years, convention experience, years in attendance. Give us a stat line.
Yeah, my first convention was in Nashville in 1996. I was an assistant at Iowa Central Community College back then, and Rick Sanquist was my boss there. We loaded up the van and drove from Fort Dodge, Iowa over to Nashville, and just had an unbelievable time. I think that was the year that John Scalinas gave his famous
17
speech,
inches.
And I was sitting in there for that, and I don't think I've missed one yet. Maybe I missed one for the birth of my daughter.
There you go.
17 years ago, but it's a great way to kick off the year. It's a great way to network with guys. You got Ron Polk standing over here. Steve Smith was over here. I mean, you know, some of the best minds in the history of the game. So
doesn't it seem like that's going to be a common theme, and it always is on our show when you talk about convention experience. It seems like you start a trend. You go one year. And you just figure out this is a can't-miss opportunity. I have to come year two. And you blink, and 30 years have gone by.
Well, it's true. You know, and go back to my first one. I remember having a very long conversation with Dave Schrag, who was then at University of Northern Iowa, mm-hmm. and just about career and kind of where we were headed, and thought at the time, you know, use it for a great networking opportunity.
Sure.
But, you know, you keep coming back. You get to meet more and more people. You get to reconnect with a bunch of guys not on the playing field.
That's right.
You know, where you can act like buddies at least at this time of year. And it's a great way to kick things off is we're getting ready, 6 weeks from today or tomorrow, I think, is the first
rolling.
Game.
Rolling.
So, yeah, that's
rolling
right.
Rolling downhill.
That's right.
You know, we talk about ABCA being the baseball coaches fraternity, so obviously the next question is about relationships. When you come to a convention like this, just explain the feeling that overwhelms you when you get a chance to reconnect with guys, either guys you hadn't seen in forever or guys that you see every single year or possibly even new relationships.
Well, it certainly re-energizes you, I think, every year as you're getting ready to get rolling. I remember the first one, and it was pretty intimidating. You know, I think in Nashville, I remember pulling Mark Marquis aside and asking him some questions about first base play and not knowing anything about what I'm doing and being as nervous as I'll get out. But I remember Mark was walked by me from Stanford, and I said, I got to talk to this guy.
Oh, that's great.
And, so that whole side of it, the relationship piece of it is what it's about. I'm assuming is going to be the biggest convention that we've had yet.
That way.
It's a testament to you guys and, the Kylitz family, I guess.
Sure, yeah.
And growing the ABCA. But it is a fraternity. I think we all look out for each other.
That's right.
I think the biggest thing is we all want to make the game better.
That's right. You know, Coach Corbin was just on with us, and we were talking about that intimidating moment, his first convention being intimidating. It's funny that you bring reference back to that, because I think there probably are inside the hundreds of coaches in front of us here, there's a few, a handful, that this is their first convention.
Sure.
And I've already tried to prep them through the podcast. You're going to be overwhelmed.
Right.
You're going to be intimidated. But I think what we've got to break down that wall is any coach that's here, any coach, no matter what their polo says, you can walk up to them and have a great conversation
That's right.
about the game.
No doubt about it. And, every aspect of the game from, the Little League side of it all the way up to the professional side of it and anywhere in between. And, again, great opportunity to meet people. Everybody's always been more than generous and
sure.
more than the willing to give their time. And you're going to learn a lot. You're going to see a lot in the exhibit halls. You're going to get to meet a lot of great people. It is a highlight of the year for sure.
Now, last year was a little different for you because, you were prepping for the main stage.
You had
a little sweat dripping down the forehead last year.
Yeah.
How's it feel this year just getting able to relax and enjoy
it?
It's
nice to be able just to be here and not worried about anything. I'll tell you. When Rich Maloney called and asked to speak last year, it was really one of the thrills of my career to be quite an honor, and it's an experience that I certainly will never forget. And who knows, maybe in the future we'll get a chance to do it again. But a lot of fun last year. It was a lot of work that went into it because it's intimidating standing in front of just a couple of your peers, but then you throw a couple thousand people in there,
right.
And it can be very intimidating. It was good for me, good for my career, good for my development as a coach, hopefully we help some guys out.
That's awesome. So first convention experience, you're still trying to figure things out. You think you probably do have some things figured out, and you get humbled But talk about your growth over that period of time. Who were you then? And who do you think you are now at this point in your career?
Well, yeah, I don't think I knew at all who I was at that point.
There you go.
Know, just trying to figure it out, and decided to get into college baseball and wanted to see what this ABCA thing was all about. Had
sure.
been to several high school conventions and had a great time, and wanted to kind of explore what things were like at a national level. And after the first one, I thought, I need to keep doing this because I need to start developing some more connections to get involved a little bit, and,
right.
and hopefully that would springboard some things in the future as far as my career is concerned. What I learned along the way is how important those relationships are.
That's
you
right.
know, and you can know an awful lot of things. It doesn't mean you're going to get that next job or whatever. I had got a chance to talk to a lot of wise people that basically said, don't worry about the next job.
That's
Do the
right.
best you can where you're at right now, and the rest will take care of itself. And that's part of that relationship piece.
There's an aha moment that it seems like every coach references back to, where, and it's all part of our own individual journey, where you think you got the answers and suddenly it hits you that that's not really the wins and trophies aren't what
right.
we need to be judged by. We need to be judged by relationships and how many of those former players are going to show up and how many birth announcements do you get, how many
that's
wedding
right.
invites do you get. And,
that's right.
And hopefully, the guys that are paying attention to this, they've hit that moment. You being here on site in Indy, what are you trying to get out of the clinics? What are you trying to do through your convention experience and take home back with you to East Lansing?
Well, as far as the game is concerned, I think, we go into this, myself, I've always gone into it thinking if I can bring one new thing home, then it's
yeah.
been a valuable
Great point.
It's been a valuable weekend. And so we got a chance to bring my wife down this year, leave my kids back at home. So it's a good time to just for the two of us to get away a little bit. But
sure.
again, I don't think you're ever done learning. And if the day you're done learning is probably the day you need to get out. And so, again, trying to find maybe one or two new things that we can take back and start working with our guys in January, something that'll, help make our program better.
I love it. I'm going to leave you with this. If you could, there's going to be so many coaches that, most certainly are inside this crowd. There's going to be a lot that are going to be at home, and they couldn't make it for some reason. They didn't pull the trigger. They didn't
right.
make the confirmation to be here in Indianapolis, but we're trying to get them to show up in 19 in Dallas. And there's a little bit of intimidation. There's a little bit of maybe I don't know what ABCA is all about. What am I really missing out on? Give them the pitch. Give them from your perspective to make them show up in Dallas.
Well, if you're not here, I think the first thing you need to do is to get on the website and take a look at the videos.
There you go.
Obviously we're all trying to develop and trying to further ourselves and our program. So I think, getting those videos and referencing those, early and often is very, very important. And I think at that point, I think once you understand what you can learn here and the importance of just what we talked about, that whole relationship piece of it, and how that's going to make you not only a better coach, but I think a better father, a better husband,
Love it.
A better guy that can relate to your players. And you do get those wedding invites and birth announcements,
yep.
10, 20, 30 years down the road. That's what it's all about.
Love it. Want to welcome in the legendary Augie Garrido. Welcome to the podcast.
Yeah, we finally figured out what legendary really means.
Break it down.
It's a definition for old.
A coach with perspective is what we call it.
Yeah, there you go. A very kind way of saying, you're really old.
That's right.
Been around a long time.
Well, what's great is it's been so long. It's been episode 28 since we had you on the airwaves. But you and I have connected a lot off air, and
right.
it's, man, so great to see you again in person. Thanks
well,
for coming.
Well, thank you. It's great to be here. Look at this thing.
Yeah.
I mean, is this amazing?
It's been great. We're closing in on some record numbers. This should turn out to be our biggest convention ever.
Well, undoubtedly, and in a wonderful place that
yeah.
a lot of us would never get to see.
That's right.
Wasn't, it's a magnificent city.
Yeah.
And the weather reminds me a little of Illinois.
It does.
Yes, there's a familiar white stuff out there. And,
but there's a reason you left Illinois.
I put a sign up on my door at the hotel that said, no outdoor practice today.
Well, hopefully, if you stay inside the convention center,
yeah,
and
you're
use the skywalks, you're safe.
You're safe.
Well, welcome to Indy again.
Thank
We're
you.
So thankful
Thank
to have
you,
you here, Augie.
Thank you, Jeremy.
Jumping up on the main stage.
That's risky.
We're excited to get you back.
Never
up
know
there.
What's going to come out.
That's right. Well, we know you're going to deliver a great message. We got so many coaches here; they're excited to hear you.
Well, thank you. It's about the game, this is where there is a common denominator, and there is something amongst the baseball world that exists and provides opportunity for everybody.
That's
and
right.
That's the game itself.
That's right.
the game provides opportunity. People look at it as a game of failure.
That's right.
But the truth of the matter is, it's a game of opportunity.
100%.
And the unbelievable in baseball can happen. We can make in baseball, if you really believe and stick to the fundamentals and persevere through all of the negative things that happen in the game, you can do anything. You can create miracles, like the 75 team, you know, at Fullerton created a miracle. They did something that cannot be done. And everybody has the right to that.
That's
the opportunity. That's what's cool about baseball.
So cool. We got so many younger coaches that are going to be here at the convention. I think if we could, let's go back to your younger years while we're on air. I know we talked about it on our show, but who were you then?
You're asking for a lot of memory here.
Hey, I need you to go back. Pull back the pages.
Who was I then?
Yeah. We had some great stories on our show. We talked about, you know, the book that really changed your perspective on really dealing with players and how they dealt with failure. And go back to that coach. Who was that guy? What'd you still need to figure out?
Everything.
Exactly.
That's the beauty of baseball. Yeah. You never figure it out.
That's
you
right.
can't figure it out. There's things that are involved with baseball that you can't control. Even Ken Revisa can't control it.
Right.
You know?
And he can do anything.
he will tell you that. Bless his heart.
Bless his heart.
And he can do a lot. But the truth of the matter is you can't control luck.
Yep.
You can't control momentum.
Yep.
You can't control the intangibles. You can't control environment.
Yep.
And you can't control expectations.
That's it.
Hey, that's a pretty strong team.
That's it. Yes, it is. They're going to win some games. They're going to be okay.
So, you know, a lot of coaches, you look back on their careers and you can say, man, they rode in on a white horse, you know, especially if they were USC.
Sure, that's right. They really did.
I think I rode in on a mule.
Yeah. With a broken leg.
A three-legged mule.
Exactly.
Yeah. Once again, Jeremy, you hit it right on the head.
You know, you talked about expectations. I think that leads us. We talked about that on our show, how you dealt with expectations. You know, winning it in 79 and coming back in that 80 season, expectations really got to you that year.
Yeah, it created a fear.
Yeah.
I was really dominating.
Expand on that.
When we won in 1979, I thought I had accomplished all that could be accomplished, and people would respond to me, mainly at the university is what I meant.
Right,
We'd have a better budget. We'd have more than 12 dozen baseballs. We'd have a guy that at least once a week would drag the field.
Right.
You know, I mean, some of these
essentials.
These luxurious things that you might expect.
Right.
And none of that happened.
Yeah.
And so in 1980, I found myself really controlled by my emotions, and it was a negative emotion that overwhelmed me.
Yeah.
And I was afraid to lose the game.
There it is. Yeah.
And at the end of the game, whether we won or whether we lost, I was a wreck.
Yeah.
Because I was so worried about the results that I couldn't enjoy the process.
There you go.
And it really is important for young coaches or any coach anywhere to understand that you have to separate it. The coach, we as coaches don't live in the world of results.
Right.
We get judged by it.
That's
but
it.
But we don't live in it.
Oh, preach, baby.
We live in the world of process.
There it is.
And our idea of a successful day is helping a player help himself become a better ball player.
There you go.
And a better person. And I think the real beauty of baseball is the way that learning about baseball and how to deal with baseball and stay in the moment and move on through the negative things that happen to you in the game that you can't control. But it turns into learning from both the good things that happen and the bad things that happen.
Right.
And now it becomes a very meaningful classroom.
That's it.
One of the best experiences a person can ever encounter.
Yeah.
You're learning teamwork. You're learning leadership. I don't need to go into all of those kind of things. But it's incredible how being on a baseball team and the things that you learn about baseball, what you have to give, the work ethic that it takes to be successful individually and collectively becomes one of the things that never leaves you.
That's it.
It becomes a part of who you are. It's a part of your development. And that is really, there's one key sentence that that I live by and as a coach and have for a long time, and that is our job is we finally end up being school teachers.
Right, that's it.
Nothing more,
that's
nothing it. Less, yep. But it's a noble job. And as a school teacher, we're educating one person at a time for the betterment of society.
There you go.
And that is what baseball presents in the way of an opportunity, is to learn how to learn.
That's it.
And oh, take it powerful. One day at a time and stay in the moment despite yep. what's going on around you. And the examples of that are really meaningful. And
oh, that's great.
All out there.
You know, we got so many coaches that are out here, and they're paying attention to, obviously, this conversation. But more importantly, they're coming to 4 days of baseball heaven here, and they're trying to learn. They're trying to grow. And I think it's so a gleaming example of you as a guy that's always – stayed humble in who he was, more importantly, where you were in terms of what you understood about the game itself.
Well, thank you. I think that realistically, we're all privileged to be a part of the game. It creates this huge society.
Yeah, fraternity.
That we're dealing with here. Yeah. Any place we go in the world, we run into people that that we know as a result of what we've done in baseball and where we've been and all of that. It's a great lifestyle.
Yes, it is.
But I will say this. I'm not so sure that as a teacher, the kindergarten teachers aren't more important
right.
than we are, because they get our children earlier, you know.
Bless their hearts every day.
As they say in Texas, bless their little old hearts.
Bless their little. Now, for the younger guy that's out there, and you can speak directly to him. Now, they're going to be listening to this show. They're going to be standing here watching us. They're going to be here at the convention.
Yeah.
The younger coach, speak directly to that young man. Give him some advice that would lead him on a better path.
I think where I would start with it is respect the game.
Okay.
Understand clearly that if you teach the fundamentals of the game and teach the fundamentals of good human behavior, that the game will separate the winner from the loser.
Mm.
And don't get trapped into results. Stick with that game plan that you have for your daily practices and what you're going to do one-on-one with your players.
Right.
Our job is to help the player help themselves fulfill their destiny.
Period.
Period.
Exclamation point.
Yeah. Now, if you want to keep your job, you better win the game.
That's right. That's right.
When I first moved into Texas, you know, I thought about buying this big old house and maybe even a ranch.
Anyway, why not?
Why not? Why not? We're here, you know. And then after losing a couple of years, I thought I'd get myself a big old bus and paint it stealth gray and move it every night.
Just in case. Just in case I got to go.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, I know so many coaches want to get to you, shake your hand, spend some time with you. But we're so thankful we can sit down and talk a little bit. Enjoy your time in Indy. We look forward to catching up with you.
Always good to see you, Jeremy.
Always a pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank
My
you.
Pleasure.
How about it? Phil Schallenberger, Cairn University, jumping on the podcast. How you doing, Phil?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me. This is awesome.
My pleasure, man. Thanks for jumping down with us. You know, I think bringing you on brought a unique perspective to this show. And we've got, obviously, a lot of legends. You're falling up the seat with Augie Garrido that just got done sitting here. But we talked, I thought was an important message to bring, was that this is only your second convention. Mm-hmm. So you talk about bringing some young perspective to the airwaves here, man.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's the second convention, second year as a member. So it's kind of crazy just to be able to be a part of this, and it's been an awesome experience like
that's
over the
awesome.
Last few years. So
that's so cool, man. Well, a young head coach that gets it, a young head coach that's excited, that wants to learn. Obviously, we caught up the Barnstormers Coaching Clinic store down in Tennessee. But what we want to spend a little bit of time talking about is being your first convention experience. And for the guys that are listening in right here in front of us, the hundreds of coaches that are in front of us here at registration, or even the guys that are listening to the show post-convention, you know, your first convention was a year ago.
Yeah.
And we always talk about first convention you can't walk away from. You're going to be overwhelmed. It's going to be a lot. It's going to make you take a couple steps back. So go back to that first convention experience. Explain it for us. What did 4 days in Anaheim feel like for you?
Yeah, it was an incredible experience. You walk into last year where the main speakers were, and it was just – incredible. There's 5,000 coaches sitting in there, and you kind of feel a little bit overwhelmed. It's my first year as a head coach, first convention coming
right.
in, and there's all these legends that you hear on the podcast and different things that you get to talk with, and just incredible just kind of being in the same room as them. But it's cool because they're learning just as much as you're trying to learn too, and like you say it all the time, you go up and shake their hand, they'll be the first ones that ask you what are you doing with your program. And that's one of the coolest things about the ABCA and the convention.
Can I use a word? It's one that's come up actually two or three times so far. Intimidated.
Yeah.
Were you intimidated last year?
I think I'm not so intimidated. I think overwhelmed a little bit.
All right.
I think for me, I'm not the type of guy that just walks in and commands the president of a room. Like, I actually kind of sit back a little bit. I rather connect with people before meeting them, kind of through social media or text messages. And then it's easy. I love the one-on-one conversation. Just met with a young head coach this morning, and it was awesome just talking with him. And it's only been my second year, and he's asking me for advice. And he's a great guy. He's passionate about being here. And so, it wasn't necessarily intimidating, but it's a little bit overwhelming coming into it, and just kind of getting that courage, muster up that courage to go talk to the people that they want to talk to you.
That's like, right.
They want to be there and hear what you have to say, but also learn from them too.
I think the beauty of it comes back to the point you made a second ago. I think when you meet with a coach, and I think sometimes we see guys on television and we think that, man, I really want to talk with that guy because I can pull something from his program and what he does, and I can take it back to mine and be better. Where too often those guys want to learn from you. Mm. And they want to bring something that you're doing well, even at Karen. They want to bring it back to their program to make themselves better, which is a really unique dynamic.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's awesome. Like, I can't tell you how much I've enjoyed the ABCA and what I've learned from that, and being able to take a lot of the things from the podcast, the convention. I mean, I told our assistant before we came out here, I was like, we have a lot of things we need to do before we get ready to go in the season. And I was like, to be honest with you, we're not going to develop anything because by the time I get back from the convention, I'm just going to want to change it anyway. So we got to talk about that a little bit too.
Now, so here we go. We're walking in from that first convention experience, and you know you're coming to join us here in Indianapolis. And you put out a tweet a day ago talking about your game plan. Talk us through your game plan of what you have prepared for today and the next 3 days after it.
Yeah, absolutely. So with it being such a ton of events that are taking place within a three-day span, I kind of wanted to have a game plan coming into it. And you talk about this all the time, but the connecting with other coaches is so undervalued at times. And the awesome thing about the ABCA is you guys put the videos out there.
Yeah.
So like, kind of the disease of FOMO kind of disappears because you get to grab those videos if you miss a clinic
online afterwards.
And so not being afraid to miss an opportunity to connect with another coach and just talk with them, kind of pick their brain a little bit. So I wanted to have kind of a game plan and a philosophy of what I wanted to come into. Is that last year I came into it kind of a little bit of a philosophy of what I want to do as a coach, first year head coach, haven't even gone through a season yet.
Right.
So trying to figure out what I wanted to do, and it just kind of came in. I was like, I'm just going to go listen to everything. And at the end of it, I was able to pull things from it, but not as much if I would have went in with a mindset of exactly what I want to try to accomplish. And so this year, I wanted to have a little bit of a game plan. One was, so I just kind of mapped it out, four main goals, and one was to connect with at least 10 coaches I don't know.
Yeah.
Get their names, have a conversation with them. Nothing too long, but just get to know them
a little bit. In an effort to build a network?
Yeah, a little bit, and get to know them and continue to, because I can't tell you how many coaches I text throughout the season, like, hey, what are you doing here?
Or,
a pitching coach at Oklahoma Wesleyan sent me his pitching stuff just last week. And so just having that ability to connect with guys and just have those resources.
It's awesome.
And then you can send whatever I have to them. And
So
that was one of the things. And then two other things as far as what I wanted to accomplish from learning's perspective was coming in with the mindset of learning how to really address our base running, base stealing. That's really big in our program. So we went after that. That's a meeting with Matt Tallarico at the hot stove, texting him before we get here, like, hey, what's going on with this? Can't wait to talk with you. Guys like that, and just continue to message them and learn from base stealing. And then infield play is another thing I wanted to get stronger at.
There you go.
And so I kind of mapped it out of all the infield base running and then a couple of the culture things I want to hit up, like with the speakers and all the ones I want to get to. So that leaves the time in between to connect and network.
That's awesome.
And the last thing was to sit down and have a half hour, 45-minute conversation over lunch, a coffee or a beer or something to get to talk with them and to get to kind of dig into what they're doing in the program, but to continue to grow and learn from them.
Love
it. Hopefully I can help people, but at the same time, like, I'm really trying to learn from them more than anything.
Oh, so awesome. For a young dude, I mean, you've got so much figured out. I think it takes a lot of coaches. I know even personally for me, it took me time to really maybe have the perspective of walking into this convention with a real plan, as opposed to just walking in and experiencing 4 days here, which you can certainly do, and you're going to be better because of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
But more importantly, I think if you we talked about this on the preview show, is if you start with the end in mind, who do you want to be on Sunday when you're driving back and jumping on the plane and you're back home? What did you want to accomplish there? And if you start with the end in mind and work your way backwards, it appears that you did. You know, you're gonna walk away on Sunday, man, feeling pretty good about what you did here in Indy, Phil.
Absolutely.
So cool, man. post-convention, having those conversations with Tallarico and taking some of that base running plan, taking into how you attack the 18 season. Mm-hmm. Obviously, a huge fan of what you're doing, huge fan of who you are as a young coach inside the ABCA. And who knows, man, 30 years from now, we're going to talk about you being a 35-year continuous member, and we're going to laugh about days like this here in Indy. Yeah. But thanks for jumping on off this field. Wish you the best of luck, man.
Absolutely, Sheets. Love what you're doing, man. It's awesome.
Thanks, brother. Appreciate it.
Keep bumping into great people. You know your day keeps getting brighter when Tyler Gillum from South Mountain, former podcast guest, joins us here at the booth. But more than that, I'm bringing on Clay Cox from Paris JC. What's up, Clay?
Oh, not much. Glad to be here. Appreciate you having me this morning.
Absolutely. Well, you are a future podcast guest. I know we've connected. We're going to get you on this spring and talk about some of the great things you've been doing, man. You've been a guy that connected with me through Tyler, and I've been watching you from a distance. I admire the way you go about your business, my man.
Well, I appreciate it. You know, we're just trying to do things the right way at Paris and trying to bring some history back to that program and take it to the next level. You know, we're trying to get the right kind of guys in there, guys that are our kind of guys, as OKGs, as
That's
Coach
it.
Deggs would call them.
Sure.
And so, you know, we want to get those guys in there and just continue to build this program and try to become one of the elite that people look to.
Now, are we running the green light special at Paris?
We are running the green light special. We're not running it as much as South Mountain is over there. We chased them last year. I think we finished with 138, and they finished with 200. But we're gonna be on their tail again this year.
I think they're somehow stealing first base. I don't know how.
They've got to be, man.
Let's go into this, because I think what we get out of these interviews has been so special in that we talk about what ABCA means to the person we're talking with.
Right.
So I think start there. So talk about what the ABCA means to, what this convention means to you. Just open those up for us.
You know, actually, throw Gillum out there again. He's the one who got me going with ABCA.
Yep.
He got me to my first convention. And I was just telling him last night, it's kind of funny. I had coached high school ball for 5 years, and then I got into the college game. And I can remember that first convention, you know, kind of following him around and just hanging out, little puppy dog, not really knowing what's going on. And, you know, yesterday we get here and I can't get 10 steps without talking to about 10 people, you know.
That's
and so
right.
Just to see that growth and the network and the people you get to meet over the years here, it's just unbelievable. You know, sitting here these 3 or 4 days, you know, just kind of gives you that chance to recharge right before you get back into the season and just keep taking notes, you know, mental notes as you're going all night, you know.
Always.
Just taking everything you can from everybody here. There's a lot of great baseball minds. It's obviously the greatest meeting of baseball minds on the face of the planet as far as I'm concerned. So
could not agree more with you on that one. You know, we pride ourselves on being the baseball coaching fraternity. And I think in fraternity, you could also talk about brotherhood. And I think in brotherhood, you can talk about maybe making yourself a little vulnerable. And, you know, because you feel comfortable doing that.
Right.
So what I've tried to do is go back with our guests is let's go back to who you were early on in your career. At 22-year-old that's pants are on fire and he's jumping into who was that guy?
You know, that was a guy that probably jumped in, you know, feet first and didn't know where I was going.
Right.
But, you know, as I've grown, I think the biggest thing for me is being able to step back and evaluate the moment as it happens.
Okay.
And not just react, you
right.
know, to kind of pause, read, and then react and not just necessarily react right away. I think, you know, I guess you would call me a little bit of a hothead when I was, you know, I think
okay.
most
I
of
can
us
see
were.
That.
Yeah.
Yep.
But, you know, and not to say that the moments aren't still there.
Sure.
But, you know, to be the fact of the matter, to be able to stop in the moment and say, hey, we can handle this and step back and kind of evaluate the situation, I think that's one of the biggest changes that I've made over the last 10 years in this game. So that's been a big one for me.
That's outstanding. And I think there's a point, and I see it through your work. I see it through your tweets. I see it through our conversations. And you and I spent a lot of time back and forth on some growth
Absolutely.
Stuff and trying to work and get better. So here's what comes out of some of these talks that I think is really unique. And I think most coaches would be able to resonate with is early on, you're motivated by the wrong things.
Absolutely.
You know, you're wanting to be called coach. You're fired up for respect. You certainly are chasing rings. You're chasing trophies. You're, you know, the win, the next win. And at some point it clicks and it becomes all about relationships. It becomes all about growing up young men. And I'm telling you, Clay, from a dude that watches from a distance, you're on top of that.
Well, I appreciate it. You know, and I think that you're absolutely right. I mean, you're coaching early on, and you're chasing the wins, you're chasing the jewelry. But you know, as he always says, you know, they don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And
that's
I think
it.
That's absolutely it. You know, we strive to we stress academics, community service, all those things together in our program to try to build. You know, the young man. I tell guys all the time, and I tell their parents when they come in on recruiting trips, is that. You know, we're an extension of their parents, and they've done
right.
a great job raising them to this point. They're turning them over to us for 2 years, and so I want to continue to build that. I mean, you know, you're going to say yes or no, so you're going to say yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. You're going to take your hat off when you go inside a building. We're going to do the little things right, because I'm a firm believer in if we do the little things right, the big things like winning are going to take care of themselves.
That's
and
right.
So we try to strive on those little things and just make guys, I think it's Andy Lopez who says, you know, at the end of the day, I'm going to have a lot more husbands and fathers in the world than I am Major League Baseball players.
Love it.
And so that's where we've got to stress to make those guys better. The wins will come if you're doing things the right way. I'm a firm believer in that. So that's where we try to stress, you know, in our program, where we try to get to.
The way I've heard it said, and again, numbers can change, is, you know, throughout my career, I may have 100 guys that get drafted to play professional baseball, but I'm going to have 500 husbands. I'm going to have, you know, 250 dads. And I think that's such a unique dynamic of why we're really doing what
we do. Absolutely.
So here's the last question I want to hit you with, man. You come to ABCA. I know you well enough to know you have a game plan. You've got something you're trying to take back. You have something you're trying to challenge yourself with and try to work back into the Parrish JC program. What is that?
You know, I'm going to follow Murph a little bit. I'm excited to hear Tucker and some of these infield guys. Obviously,
okay.
Talk to Kai. You know, that's one of my areas of expertise I feel like that we really strive on. That's what I'm actually speaking on next week, you know, in Waco at the Texas convention.
And yeah.
So, but just for me, I don't know that there's one thing I want to take away. I like to just pick as many brains as I can. You know, when I can remember my first year when an old coach told me that the best ideas are stolen, you know, and everything in our program is stolen and modified and tweaked to make us who we are. So I just like to talk to everybody I can. And like I said, you know, I've told a lot of people, don't ever think you know too much. You know, don't
right.
think you have the answer, because we don't have any answers yet. You know, we're not trying to reinvent the wheel, but there's always
sure.
something that we can get better at. So, you know, I don't really have a point per se. I mean, I'm excited to hear Tucker. I'm excited to hear JT, you know, both in the Expo Center.
Absolutely.
Obviously, Coach Deggs, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Augie, you know, both those guys spit just absolute certified audio gold on the podcast.
That's it.
So,
you better believe
you know,
it.
I'm excited to hear those guys. You know, I can't leave without saying something about Coach Murphy. You know, I got to know him when I was out at University of West Alabama. We were about 45 minutes from Tuscaloosa. And getting to know him and what he's about, and then hearing his podcast as well. I mean, it's absolutely unbelievable what they do out there in that softball program.
That is the beauty of the ABCA and the men inside this association.
Absolutely.
I love it. Clay, get out there, go crush Indy like I know you will. Enjoy your time, and man, we look forward to catching up with you soon.
Appreciate you having me on, Sheets.
No doubt. Let's get back on the air. Former podcast guest Tyler Gillum. Gilly, welcome back to the show, my man.
What's up, Sheetsy, man? I feel like saying good morning, Indy. It's like Robin Williams in Good Morning Vietnam, right? I mean,
100%.
Fantastic movie. That's what I feel like right now.
Well, I'm always a pleasure to connect with the best, and I think you're one of the best. I think you're one of the best young coaches in our game. That's why you're an easy pick to bring on the podcast. I don't want to get into too much base running stuff, man. What you guys and Clay and I were just talking about, what you guys have done at South Mountain, the green light special.
Oh, yeah.
And I know for a fact you're going to bring that to the Savannah Bananas
right.
coming this summer. You excited?
That's right. I'm pumped. Savannah's an unbelievable town. Got to go there in November right after we hung out at the barnstorming event there in, there in North Carolina, and got to go check out that whole setup. I mean, what they do marketing-wise, what they do in the front office. They have
so
the most
excited.
Full-time front office people in summer collegiate baseball, 5,000 fans a game.
Mm.
Unbelievable fan experience, so I'm excited to get down there and get after it.
It's awesome, and you're not too far from me, so I plan on making it down.
Absolutely.
I think Chelsea will be right there about 9 months pregnant when we get to that point. We're going to come down and see you.
Oh, yeah, get Coop out there.
Absolutely. Coop's going to run the bases.
Oh, yeah.
We'll get him on the green light special, hopefully. So when we talk about ABCA, we're trying to have these conversations with guys as they come into the convention and this experience. But I'm interested from a young coach's perspective, what's the ABCA mean to you? What's this convention experience mean to you? Why do you come back each and every year?
You know, I tell you what, it's everything to me. My first experience was 2010 in Dallas.
Yep.
And it changed I didn't even know ABCA existed then. It was my first year coaching. Got an opportunity to come down. I was in Ada, Oklahoma then. And so it's only like a 2.5 drive south. So we came down and I was blown away. And I said, there's a no-brainer. This is Christmas. This is Thanksgiving. And you got ABCA. You got to go every year. You know, I tell every young coach that. I mean, I don't care if you got to sell your laptop, every clothes you have, your car. Get a credit card, because that's going to pay off in the long run. You're going to meet the person that's probably going to hire you in the future. So,
love it.
You know, it's, you know, from a learning perspective and a connection perspective, there's not a better place.
What do you take home each and every convention? When you wrap up and you head back and you get back to Arizona and you're reflecting on 4 days of baseball heaven, what are some of the things you take back with you each and every year?
Yeah, absolutely. It's, you know, I think it's a little bit of everything. Justin James showing up right here. He's
love
the man.
Love to see Justin stop by the podcast and
big
hang out just a little bit with
us. Absolutely.
as Jeff Calhoun takes the longest picture in American recorded history. Great to see you. Pleasure, the UC San Diego guys, just dropping by to say hello.
Being big time.
No, finish that up. Well, I mean, there's so much to be taken away from it.
You know, the biggest thing is the connections and going back and then reconnecting with all of those coaches,
right,
either through Twitter or social media, cell phone, email, whatever it is.
Right.
And keeping those connections, you know, for a long, long time. And,
that's right.
And just trying to, you know, like Joe says all the time, get 1% better, you know. So it's a little bit of everything. Yeah. You just try to take it all in. You know, you can get overwhelmed. But yeah, you definitely try to take hit your speakers that you really want to see, that you've never seen, that might spark your interest, and just take a little bit back and maybe just add a little bit to whatever you're doing. But
right,
you don't want to overwhelm yourself and do a bunch of stuff.
And that's where I wanted to go, because you just walked into that spider web. Early on in your career, did you think you did what I did? I know, and I know a number of coaches did, is you came back and you overhauled in January. You got, and I think that's an easy thing to do, because you get so bombarded with great information, new verbiage, new drills, new way of doing things. And the mistake would be to come back and completely abandon everything you did in the fall and walk in brand new information, brand new ways of doing things, weeks before your season starts. Are you guilty of that?
Oh, 100%. There's no doubt about yeah, that. I mean, you know, I heard Marty Lee speak my first convention,
right,
and I stole everything I had from Marty and was like,
sure,
oh, I'm Marty now.
That's
right.
Right.
So,
that's right.
Yeah, I've definitely backed off that, and I still teach some of the stuff that he brought to the convention that year.
Yeah.
But that definitely gave me the perspective of, I don't know anything. You
right,
know, I thought I did. I was young and running around with my hair on fire. But, yeah, it was, you know, I stole a little bit from him, and now, you know, I stole a little bit from, there's 20 different guys I've stolen from. So in a bunch of different areas, not just infield guys, but, you know, strength and conditioning guys and,
sure,
and adding it all to the mix. So, yeah, it's added up over this is my seventh year at the convention, so it's added up over time, and it's awesome.
I'm guilty as taking coming from my first convention in 07,
mm-hmm,
and coming back and listening to Ken Revisa talk, and he
no
does
doubt
his 30 seconds of focus.
Yes.
And I brought that to my team, and
yes,
I think they thought I had lost my mind.
Oh, yeah.
Talking about breathing. Had never talked about breathing before. But anyways, I think we're all
no
guilty
doubt
of that, and we learn and you grow. But, you know, there's such an element to this convention experience about relationships, and you're a
absolutely
guy that really – I noticed from a distance, it really cultivates relationships very well. You stay in contact with guys, you follow up, you're very engaging. I think, is that something that really motivates you inside coaching? That's why you keep doing what you do?
Yeah, absolutely. It's 100%. My 2017 goal was try to figure out how I'm going to impact 1 million people. I don't think I got there, but it's put me on the path. It gave me a better perspective of how
sure
I'm going to get there. Hanging out with the guys, we were up in the room, and there's two or three guys that we hooked up on Twitter, and they want to know how they're going to get into college baseball or just some
right,
advice or whatever,
right,
and anything that I can help, I would love to help, you know. So
awesome,
definitely invite those guys up and introduce them to the 30 guys that we had in the room, and, you know, just try to continue to help those guys make connections, because that's what it is, you know.
100%.
I mean, a lot of times when these guys are trying to go get that next job, it's – nobody really puts in resumes. It's usually somebody making a phone call,
right,
and that job's – when you see a post on ABCA or you see that job posting on, you know, Indeed.com or whatever it is, especially the big-time jobs,
sure,
those jobs are already taken. That's just kind of – that's just
formality.
Kind of, yeah, you know.
Yeah.
So I think that's the biggest thing. Go make those connections so you can get into that mix, get into that circle of trying to land that next job through connections.
Oh, I love it. So obviously here in Indy, what's the one thing maybe you're trying to take in your back pocket? I know you come in with a plan. You're a guy. All of our coaches are. You come in with a plan. Maybe you want to challenge yourself across one front, and you're trying to bring back to make this year's team at South better. What's maybe that one thing you'd offer to us?
You know, again, still trying to add to what we do with our 1 hour classroom session.
There we
go. I
think
more than anything.
Awesome.
You know, trying to just continue to figure out how we're going to grow young minds, men.
Yep.
And, you know, we have a 1 hour classroom session that we do each week, and there's always something that we can add to it. This was our second year that we did it in the fall, and it went phenomenal again. And
of course,
we're just going to continue to try to build off of that, really. But, you know, like Clay said earlier, man, I'm pumped to see Degs, and, you know, you hear the story. And
sure,
being in College Station for 3 summers coaching summer collegiate baseball and hearing, you know, hearing everything that you hear. And we had some of his players in summer baseball, and you know, just seeing all of that and trying to take all of it in. Like I said, just take a little bit back
and get 1% better. I love the Joe Ferraro reference already inside the podcast.
No doubt.
Well, Gilly, it's always a pleasure to connect with you, man. I know you're going to crush Indy, and I just hope you enjoy your 4 days here in baseball heaven, and look forward to catching up with you again soon, my man.
I appreciate it. Nice suits, sheets. I love it.
As always. Going to welcome in Auburn University head coach Butch Thompson to the podcast. Butch, thanks for sitting down with us.
Absolutely. Great. Thanks for having me. Good to see you, Sheets. Happy New Year.
That New Year to you. Now, it's been a long time since I've gotten you on the airwaves, like episode two, getting you on the airwaves back on the podcast. But, man, thanks for sitting down with us. Welcome to Indy.
Absolutely. I appreciate it. We just got in, just starting to get registered here. And you said episode two. What I've noticed is it's only gotten better and better and better.
Yeah, on a lot of fronts. Comfortable in this seat. But we've been connecting with some great baseball men. And I think what's really cool, and we'll bring this full circle, you made a great line inside that show where you talked about how you coach for relationships. And what's been really neat, Butch, and I'm going to give you this on air and also in front of these hundreds of coaches out here in front of us, is I really think that your comment on that show set a tone. And that same theme seems to show and rear its head on every single podcast we put out, where more and more of these coaches are starting to understand it's not about wins. It's not about trophies. If you chase those, you're going down the wrong rabbit hole. It's about relationships.
You know, I just think what we're seeing now is we're in a good stage with so many great coaches.
Sure.
So much knowledge being shared.
Yeah, that's it.
And that's where I want to give the ABCA, you, Jeremy, a lot of credit, because what this information is sharing is outside of me, but you're seeing so many of these successful coaches around the country, and you're seeing these common themes.
That's right.
Of love and taking care of your players, defining process.
Yes.
That wins and losses is not everything.
That's it.
And that if you can take care of your people and build them up and build men, if you can help them find their identity at a young age, the sooner they can do that and make a difference, you're going to get the wins and losses that you so desire.
That's it. Was there an aha moment where that made sense to you, or were you always kind of engineered that way even as a younger coach?
I think me having good coaches. I think me coming up and always looked up to my coaches.
Yeah.
In high school, I'd finished my high school football career and knew I was going to go play baseball, but come out in spring football and coached.
Right.
I just always had the coach's stamp on my forehead.
Got the sickness.
I was the captain of my high school team, my junior college team, my senior college team, and I was always one of the in the middle to worst players on my team. But I always had that team where I wanted to lead and be captain of those ball clubs. So I think my brain was wrapped around, you know, how do you lead? How do you take care of your teammates from an early age?
Sure.
Everybody went off to the Cape Cod League. And when I was even in college, I went back and started a American Legion program in my
love
town
it.
Between like my sophomore and junior years, junior and senior years of college. So
wow.
I knew I was going to be a coach from early on.
That's so cool. And obviously getting involved with ABCA, man, you've been a long time member. Always see you at convention, always get a chance to bump into you. Talk about what the ABCA has meant to you over your coaching career in terms of development, in terms of building those relationships. What's that meant to you?
Well, I still just walking around the corner and getting in line here and then, you know, kind of navigating through here. You're just seeing these relationships. It means so much. I just saw Nick Mingione, who was is a brother, and I was with him for 7 years. I can't wait to hear him present tomorrow.
Yes, yes.
About to head to the All-American Committee, and, you know, Coach Horton and Hefner and Tommy Raffo
chairing that group.
Committee. Man, what a – this is just a time where, you know, a lot of us got to spend a lot of quality time with our families probably here over Christmas, but there's an excitement that New Year's.
Yes.
There's that turning of the corner to where here comes baseball.
That's
what we're wired for and what we're built for. And seeing these guys, I think, does nothing but energize us, because we're all going to kind of build ourselves up here for a few days. Then we're going to go back and carry the good news, so to speak, and get after it and prepare our teams to get ready for a season, because that's what we're built for.
That's it. Everybody's 0-0. A lot of energy in the room, that's for sure. You know, we talk so much about being the baseball coach fraternity as Augie Garrido walks right past me.
But I want to talk about something real quick, because I think when you look at your first convention experience, there's so many that are listening to this show, and they may not have come before, and they don't know what this is about. More importantly, they don't know what they're missing out on. Speak directly to those coaches that are paying attention that will convince them to show up with us in Dallas.
What I waited a little long on as a young coach, because I would sit there and I would hear, you know, Augie speak, sure, a Pat McMahon, you would a Ron Polk, you would hear these men speak, and I just always kept that distance.
Sure.
What it took me a few more years to get comfortable to realize that these men will stand in a corner with you at 11 o'clock at night.
That's right, all night.
They will connect with you.
Yep.
And that's what I would say to the young coach here. If you see somebody that excites you, something that they're talking about, demonstrating,
right,
that you want to know more about, I just – these presenters, these guys, a lot of these guys have done this over and over.
Sure.
And they've given so much back. Don't miss that opportunity to go connect with them, because they'll stop and give you that time.
That's right.
And
thank
you. I was
you.
A little late to the game on that.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And I'd say step up to the plate and get with these guys, because they're great baseball guys that are represented here.
What are you most looking forward to your time in Indy? What are you trying to pull out of to take back to Auburn with you?
I'm going to try not to go outside. I love these skywalks.
That's a fact. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The fellowship. You know, a couple of good meals we got planned. I got a good one planned for later
for
tomorrow night. But just a fellowship. Even the exhibit hall. You know, there's several of these people at Booz have reached out to us, you know,
sure,
being a coach.
Yes,
and,
oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So I got four or five things lined up there and going to make the big tour. But just trying to get a piece of everything. I want to make sure that I'm being a good steward while I'm here.
That's it.
Of connecting with our guys, doing what I can to help our game.
Sure.
But also trying to figure out things in the exhibit hall and meet new coaches, and recruiting never stops. And
that's it.
SEC.
100%.
You're trying to build these relationships of guys that you haven't seen in a while.
That's right.
This gives you a great opportunity to do that.
It's awesome. Well, appreciate you being one of the great guys inside our game. I wish all the Tigers the very best of luck, and enjoy your time here in Indy, my man.
Absolutely. Thanks for all you do, Chief.
Thanks for jumping on, Butch. Thanks, right, man. Here's what we're going to do live on air. We're going to take all these coaches here in registration through a live meditation here on site. So wherever you're at, just take a big deep breath. Waiting in line, waiting for the scan and go. Just breathe, relax. Alan Jaeger's joining the podcast. Alan, thanks for jumping on.
Hey, Sheets, thanks for having me, man.
It's my pleasure.
This is I've had no idea we'd be at the registration booth doing a live tape, and I think this is genius, man.
We're here, baby. You know, what's awesome is, you're a two-time guest on our podcast. You actually, and I'm going to say this in front of all these coaches, we wouldn't have an ABCA podcast if it wasn't for you and your prodding. Hey, Sheets, I really think you guys should do a podcast. Well, Alan, that's cool, but what is a podcast? You know, and we worked hard. We worked diligently. I had Butch on earlier. You know, and it brings it all back full circle of where we were April of 2016, and here we are 64 episodes in, working on our 65th.
Unbelievable.
And here you sitting here with me.
Trust me, man. First of all, I'm blushing. Secondly, for you to have that come to life and do such a great job. And believe me, the people that are hearing it, they're loving it. There's already a brotherhood. There's always the connection factor.
That's
there's
it.
People that really appreciate the calls from the clubhouse and the ABCA chat. So I think what you've done with it is just amazing.
I appreciate that. Well, it comes back to here on site, and it was important that we captured this energy that's here. You know, there's a tangible feel. All these coaches are fired up. I think what a lot of it has to do with everybody's 0-0, so everybody's walking into their brand new season, and right. You know, nobody's lost a game yet, nobody's beaten down. But more importantly, this event serves as that battery recharger. What's it do for you? You know, you're so cemented inside so many different baseball circles. What's this event do for you?
Well, I think first and foremost, of course, is connection and relationships. I mean, I've told this to people that, you know, I may not get to see 30, 40 really dear friends like you more than once a year, or even once a year.
Sure.
But when people come to the ABCA, you know, my experience has been, it's almost over, and I've been involved for with the game for 27 years.
Right.
That does help, but still, you get overwhelmed by the amount of quality people that you've met over the years, that you've made true connections with.
That's right.
And a lot of those connections are just straight from being at the ABCA show as well. So I think first and foremost is just the connection and the relationship with all the people.
Stay on that, because that is always a common theme in what we do and who we connect with is, you know, so many coaches walk away from maybe worrying about the win, you know, worrying about the trophy, chasing that ring, and they fall into relationships. And hopefully that happens for more guys sooner rather than later. But the relationship piece inside this game, how important that is that to you?
Well, to me, it's the foundation.
There it is.
It starts with that, and then you add to that. Yeah, we all want to win. Everybody wants to win a national championship. Everybody wants to win the conference. Everybody wants to hit 1,000, too.
Sure, that's right.
But at the end of the day, the season's going to end.
Yeah.
And hopefully you did well.
Yeah.
Hopefully you won the whole thing. But the people are always going to be there. And I think that's something you just can't ever lose sight of. And one thing I love is when I hear about coaches that are maybe in the same conference or maybe they're arch rivals, but they're sharing information. I think part of that is also an offshoot here of the ABCA convention because, you know, with all the clinics and all the great you know, everybody that's out here sharing information.
Sure.
So I think that's just another thing that you don't lose sight of. If is that we're you want to share, you want to help. Yeah, you want to win.
Right.
But I think going back to what you said, at the end of the season – you're going to have your relationships whether you were 50-0 or 0-50, right?
That's right.
And that's what matters.
Oh, love it. I'm unapologetically on air going to say this. You know, I consider you a mentor. I consider you one of my best friends. You're maybe my spirit animal. I'm not sure yet. but I think when you go deeper, I always love when you and I talk because you really bring perspective for me in our relationship. But I want to try to help you find some for yourself here. Go back to maybe you first getting out of playing. We've talked about where you were at that point, really trying to figure some things out. Go back to who you were, let's call it 23, and get into a little bit of coaching. Who were you then? And discuss your growth that brings you right to this chair here down in downtown Indy.
Well, it's funny. When Nick was on just before me, and you talked about something similar to that, I had a vision, a visual of the – that is so mind-blowing, and you're going to appreciate this.
Yeah.
I didn't really know what the ABCA was. This is probably 1980. Six or 87 or whatever. It was a good 27, 30 years ago.
Sure.
And I'm not sure how it happened, but you know what? I might have been at the JC level 1990. I was a JC coach from 1990, 1993. And maybe one of the coaches, I think that's when it was, brought me to Anaheim.
Okay.
And I walked into the main, you know, I call it a ballroom, but it's I guess it's the main area where the main clinicians are speaking.
Sure.
And who do I walk in and see? John Scalinas.
There he is.
John Scalinas was speaking on stage.
Sure,
and first
he was.
Of all, I thought I was going to a baseball convention.
Right.
I had no idea I was going to walk into something where there's 3,000-4,000 people in a room, and I had that feeling like, whoa, that's John Scalinas, and he's on stage and he's speaking, and
sure.
He was like a rock star.
Right.
And so that actually is my first true memory of ABCA.
How about that?
Can you imagine that? I walked in and John Scalinas is speaking.
The legend himself.
Yeah.
Oh, man. ABCA hallmark. A couple coaches referenced him already, talking about the 17 inches speech, which is legendary. It's made its way around the world 1,000 times. what's something that each year maybe keeps you coming back? I know we talked about relationships, but I'm going to go more on the learning side of things.
Mm.
What's something that maybe, you know, maybe even looking for this year that when you jump back on your plane to go back to Santa Monica, what are you looking to take with you? What's something you look at each and every year? I mean, I really want to learn this, or I want to take this back with me. What are your takeaways?
Well, first of all, you said go back to Santa Monica. You didn't mention Santa Monica and the pitaya smoothie. So,
oh, it's waiting for us. I know it is.
I'm just shocked.
I'm going to go back with you.
Shocked that you glossed over that. We'll let that one slide, though. I know you got other things on your mind.
A few things.
But I think first and foremost, you know, I was just talking to a coach over at our booth, and it's just interesting how when you are at the ABCA show, it might be in the elevator.
Right.
It could be anywhere. You bump into people, and you have conversations, and you're learning all the time, and you're getting insight from people all the time. I mean, obviously, the clinicians, you go in there, and you're going to take away a lot of stuff,
sure.
too. But I just think it's the innocence of just meeting people randomly and having these great conversations. And I think really the biggest answer is one, the connection and seeing your friends and hanging out. But from a learning point of view, there's not a coach here or a person here that you couldn't walk up to and take something away. So
keeps coming up.
It's just the educational piece, man, and it's just all of it. It's It's a cool deal, man.
So sweet. Now, there's going to be obviously a number of coaches even staying here in registration listening. There's going to be coaches that came to convention. They're going to listen to this post-convention recap show. But there's also some guys that maybe just were, you know, couldn't make it for whatever reason. And we want to see them in Dallas. We'd love for them to experience this. But speak to that coach. Maybe he's never been before and he doesn't know what he's missing out on.
Right.
What would you offer that guy?
Well, I mean, I'd need about 30 minutes.
You would.
I'll try to do it in 30 seconds. First and foremost, again, connection, meeting people, relationships. Obviously, clinicians, you know, coming in and learning, getting educated. Also, we haven't talked about the exhibit hall. We've been We've exhibited for I don't know 7, 8, 9 years.
Yeah.
So that's obviously just keeps growing and growing and growing. And I'd say, come see what's new, what's the latest and greatest, or something that you've heard about and you want to investigate. You know, you want to you can go up to that booth and ask that person a specific question.
That's
about
something.
So I guess so much. And just to be under the roof, so to speak, with so many coaches and have access to so many coaches and learn and meet new people. And, you know, you might be a coach that just because you met somebody that you didn't know you were going to meet and all of a sudden you end up working for that coach, you're getting a good job. And that might lead you to another job and another job. And before you know it, you're a head coach at a school that you've wanted to be a head coach at. Because you open the door and you got to the convention. So again, there's just unlimited things to answer the question, but those are a few things that jump out.
I love it. I love it. I love it. Well, we're obviously fired up to have you inside the ABCA. So thankful for what you've done, even just for this podcast, me personally, but just being here at the show. And I know so many guys are just so excited to see you here, Alan, and appreciate you jumping on with us, man.
No, I appreciate you having me as always, Sheets.
Always.
All right, brother.
See ya.
Thanks again for checking out this show. And if you're interested in more Certified Audio Gold, make sure you subscribe to this podcast on iTunes or wherever podcasts are free. You can also head over to abca.org/podcast and scroll through all of our shows. And as always, coaches, thank you for listening in and staying dialed into our Calls from the Clubhouse podcast. Until next week, we ask you to keep growing, keep developing, keep challenging yourself inside this game. We wish you and your club the very best, and thank you for what you're doing for the game of baseball.